push round versus control round feed this week on Mail Call Mondays. This is John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and we're going to kick it off with a question from Paul. And Paul asks, I would like to know your thoughts on push feed versus control round feed in regards to PRS. What are your experiences with actions such as the Mausingfield Nucleus TL3 versus the other push feed actions? Well, Paul, I don't have a lot of experience shooting PRS with the actions that you mentioned. We have recently got done reviewing the rifle that I have sitting here in front of me. This is the Bad Rack Rifles South Fork, and it utilizes a control round feed type action in it. Most of the rifles that I shoot PRS with are push round feed type designs or hybridized designs. There are pros and cons to both sides of it. Now, I may be kind of saving you a little bit of time by telling you it's really going to come down to personal preference, but there are advantages to both sides, both different actions. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with it, we'll break down what a controlled round feed versus a push feed action is. Most folks are familiar with the way for instance, a Remington 700 works. When you have cartridges that are in the magazine, be it a magazine like this or an internal round or an internal magazine that is contained within the stock, when the bolt of something like a Remington 700 comes forward, it pushes on the base of the cartridge. Now, the Remington 700 bolt is a complete circle of steel on the bolt face. One of Remington's old advertising designs is three rings of steel, the receiver, the barrel tenon, and the bolt face, I believe, were the three rings. But the bolt face has a complete ring around it. So the bottom of that ring will actually push on the cartridge as it comes forward until it gets to the end of the magazine feed lips. When it gets to the end of the magazine feed lips, the cartridge pops free from the magazine. It then pops up into the receiver, and it is basically just floating around in the receiver. The bolt is far enough forward now that it is holding the rest of the cartridges in the magazine down, and it just continues the forward journey to push the cartridge into the chamber. Once it's in the chamber, then the bolt face, or the head of the cartridge, is centered in the bolt face, and the extractor can snap over it, and the ejector can depress, and then the bolt has positive control over the cartridge. Once you fire, since that extractor is hooked into the rim of the case head, it pulls the cartridge back out of the chamber, and then the extractor, which is mounted in the bolt face and has spring pressure on the back of the cartridge, is then free to kick it out of the chamber as soon as the head of the case clears that the ejection port of the rifle or loading port, depending upon if it's a top round feed. Now, that is a very simple design. It's relatively inexpensive to manufacture. The parts are easily replaceable. So if you have a damaged extractor or damaged ejector or a worn out ejector spring, that kind of stuff is really quick to replace. The current models of Remington 700s utilize a clip extractor. So it's just a piece of spring steel inside your bolt. Those are generally trouble-free if nobody monkeys with them, but if you get the bright idea while you're cleaning your rifle that you want to pop that thing out and clean behind it, they are usually a one-shot deal. Once they are removed, then you throw them away and you replace it with a new one because they tend to get bent up in the removal process and they will not have the same amount of tension to grip that case head as they were when they were brand new. Cleaning the ejector means you usually have to drive out a cross pin. You have to watch out where that plunger goes and where the spring goes and then clean out things behind it. Sometimes brass shavings will get stuck down in those ejectors and hold them down. And then when the claw pulls the cartridge out of the chamber, it will release it and drop it right in on top of the magazine. And you will cause a failure to eject, which will jam up the rifle. So again, the pros there are that it's cheap to manufacture and is a relatively strong design since you have steel completely encircling the case head. If you have a rupture, if you have a failure, then those gases are contained very well, and most Remingtons will have a port in the side that is generally opposite your face for right-handed shooters, so that gas can vent outside of the rifle without causing problems. Now, the biggest issue with a push-feed action is there is no positive control of that case once it leaves the lips of the magazine. Sometimes there is no positive control of it while it is still in the lips of the magazine, and depending upon the magazine design, like if you are using a staggered feed magazine, if you push the bolt partially forward and then bring it back, then that can allow the next cartridge to pop up and the bolt can engage the base of this second cartridge in the magazine. And then if you try to drive the bolt forward, you've got a traffic jam going into the chamber and you basically get what will be a double feed in a semi-automatic rifle. You have two cartridges trying to go into the chamber at one time and there just isn't enough room. They don't fit. So you'll bind everything up. Pulling the bolt back really doesn't do anything since it was just pushing on those cartridges. So when you pull the bolt back, the cartridges are still jammed up in there. You'll usually have to stick your finger in there, roll the rifle over, do something, remove your magazine, work it to get that out. If you have pushed the bolt forward enough that that first cartridge goes all the way into the chamber and then pulled it back, it will not eject that cartridge because it usually has not gone forward enough and rotated to grip the cartridge head, so there's nothing for it to pull on to come back. It was still just pushing. So then when you bring it back and then you go to push forward on the next one, it will push that next cartridge in the magazine right into the back of the first cartridge, and again, you get a double feed. Now this one's a little bit more difficult to clear because now you have to pull the bolt to the rear, you have to rip the magazine out, you have to work things, you have to close the bolt, lock it totally down, lift it, remove it to eject that either spent case or that cartridge, and then put your magazine in and go from there. So while you're on the clock, this can cause some significant problems. And I have lost points on stage. I have lost time because either getting into position or doing something, I bumped the bolt forward and started to feed a cartridge. And then as I got on it, I tugged the bolt back and went to feed the next one. And again, had that traffic jam, had that double feed where two cartridges were trying to go forward at once. Control round feed helps alleviate this problem because the good control round feed actions will hold on to that cartridge as it goes forward. So on a control round feed, there is generally an opening at the bottom of the bolt. So instead of having that 360 degrees of metal ring, there's usually an opening at the bottom of that metal ring. So when it comes up, the breech face on the bolt will actually contact the base of the cartridge. And as it pushes it forward and as the cartridge makes its trip out of the magazine, it will pop up. And as it pops up, it pops into the extractor in the bolt. So you will have a solid part of the bolt holding it on one side and you will have the extractor holding it on the other side. So now that cartridge is controlled going forward. So if you get to a point where the cartridge has left the magazine feed lips, it is now controlled by the bolt. And when you pull the bolt back, the cartridge will still be on the face of the bolt. So no matter if you push the bolt forward, pull the bolt back, whatever, the cartridge is secured there. Now, if something happens, if you are running a control round feed rifle and you push it forward and the cartridge is not fully chambered, either it's an oversized cartridge or there was debris in your chamber or something, and you pull the bolt back, well, it should still remain on the bolt face because of the side of the bolt has one side of the cartridge and the extractor has the other side, and it's going to pull it back until it contacts the ejector, which is usually a piece mounted inside the receiver. So instead of being on the bolt face like we have with the push round feed, it is actually on the receiver. And when you bring the cartridge back and it impacts the edge of that extractor, that is when it knocks the cartridge out and will throw the cartridge free. So even though you haven't fully chambered the cartridge, If you come back hard enough, you'll hit the ejector and pop the cartridge out and throw it free of the action, and then you're free to strip a new cartridge and go on. So in the case where you may have screwed up reloading and had an oversized case that will not feed, or a cartridge that will not feed, you can kick that cartridge out and go on with the next one. Additionally, the problems that we generally run into where you bump the bolt a little bit forward while you were moving into position. Say the start requires that you are open chamber bolt back, like many PRS stages require, and as you're coming up, you thump it with your arm or thump it against a barricade, and then it slides back out of gravity. Well, if you pushed it forward enough to pop that cartridge out of the magazine, then the bolt should have gripped the front of the cartridge, and you're just moving the cartridge forward and back inside the receiver. As long as you don't come all the way back and hit the ejector, you're not going to throw the cartridge out. That is a benefit. The drawback is that whole bottom section of that 360-degree ring of steel is missing. So depending upon the action, it may be less secure in the event that you have a case rupture. It's going to direct those gases down, which may end up blowing out a magazine. It may damage things down below. But again, generally, it's not going to cause injury because it's directing all that down, not up towards your face, not towards your hand. So unless you've got your arm pulled up underneath it, if you have a catastrophic failure, you're probably going to be okay. Generally, the control round feed has been favored by dangerous game hunters because of that fact that the cartridge stays on the bolt face. I'll go ahead and pull the bolt out of the South Fork rifle here and show you. I can slide the cartridge in like it would if it fed out of the magazine. Well, that's not a really good example. But I can slide the cartridge in as it would come up the magazine, and pulling forward or back, it's going to stay there. Now, it is open on one side here, so that when you come back and you hit that ejector, it can pop it out. There's no real clip on this one that holds it in. Some control round feed actions have a little bit more of a claw on the opposite side of the ejector to hang on to the cartridge, but there are a lot of different designs out there, so it will depend upon how it's set up. But I'll show you real quick on this action with AICS style magazine. This happens to be a Magpul. If we push the cartridge forward, as soon as it pops out of the magazine, it has been gripped by the bolt. So if I push it all the way forward and lock it down and bring it back, then this is exactly what would happen in a push round, where it actually controls the cartridge forward and back. Now, if I pop this guy all the way out, and if I drive up the next cartridge and it pushes in, you see now I haven't totally locked the bolt down, but as I pull forward and back, the bolt has positive control of that cartridge, and I can pop that cartridge out, even though I haven't fully gone forward and locked down. That is the strength of the control round feed design. And again, it can alleviate some of those issues where you've popped a cartridge out of the magazine and you haven't gotten the extractor to grip hold of the cartridge yet, and it's just flailing around in there. An additional positive, especially when we are working with PRS type stuff, is that the control round feed is less susceptible to malfunctions if the rifle is turned on its side or upside down or some strange position. With push round feed, once the round has popped out of the magazine, it can fall out of the receiver of the rifle if the rifle was rotated port down and you are not working the bolt at a brisk pace. Now, most of the time you are running the bolt at a brisk pace, so you're not going to gingerly and slowly push that bolt forward, because even at this point where it has left the magazine, it's not likely to fall out. But if for some reason you bump that bolt and it comes back, then the cartridge can fall out. Now, the South Fork rifle really seems to be kind of a hybrid. It's not a true control round feed, but it is the best example that I had here without getting the 03 Springfield out of the safe. So it is a little bit better of an example than obviously a Remington, because a Remington is a push feed. Also, the Ultimatum Deadline that we have, that we've been working with quite a bit, is a push feed, as are the Accuracy Internationals. So that is the basis between the two. There are some arguments about accuracy. Traditionally, it was considered that a push round was more accurate than a control round feed. I'm not sure why this rumor or why this argument came up, because when you really stop and you think about the design on a push round feed, you have a spring-loaded ejector that is always pushing on one side of your cartridge. So that's always wanting to rotate your cartridge inside the receiver, inside the chamber. Whereas a control round feed has a fixed ejector, so that cartridge is really not going to have that push. Now, having said that, bench rest rifles still seem to favor the push round feed design. And I think a lot of the argument with the accuracy standpoint of things may be marketing. That may have been where that came from. I'm not sure. I haven't been able to really hunt down what the factual basis is for that argument. So we'll see going forward if I come across that. If so, obviously I will update this. But right now there doesn't seem to be really any accuracy advantage between one or the other in precision rifle competition. So if you find an action that you like that is control round feed, I would say go with it. If you are satisfied with your push round feed rifles, then go with them. I don't see myself getting rid of push round feed in favor of control round feed because of the slight advantage that it has with not goofing up and trying to double feed on stages. I tend to just work on making sure that my bolt is fully to the rear, and if for some reason it's bumped slightly forward on the stage, then making sure that I don't drop too out of the magazine before I drive it forward and lock it down. Now, regarding the South Fork rifle from Bad Rock here, we are wrapping the review up. This guy is probably going to go back in the next day or two to them. We've had a great time with it, but I say that it is kind of in the middle because it's really interesting. The magazine that I have here, as I said, is an AICS magazine, and the rifle will feed from AICS or AW style magazines. But from AW magazines, it seems to act more like a push feed rifle. With AICS magazines, you get a little bit more of that control round feed type design. So it's kind of really in between the two. Still, I would run it like a push round feed rifle, and you can still throw cartridges in most push feed or control round feed rifles and close the bolt without any issues at all. They don't have to be magazine fed. You can generally just throw one in the loading port and slam it closed. So those of you guys that like to run 10 round magazines and like side saddles or plus two holders on the side, then you're good to go there. You can strip the cartridge off, throw it in, slam the bolt closed. Now, there are so many push round feed and control round feed actions out there. There are some differences in how each one is constructed and what little tweaks they have on the design. So this isn't meant to be a video that covers everything that is out there, just more of some generalizations between the two and things that I have noticed. I do think the control round feed has some advantages. I am really seriously considering one of American Rifle Company's actions for my next build, because they do use some of the advantages of the fixed ejector and the control round feed. I like the South Fork rifle's fixed ejector because while testing the rifle, I didn't have to sling my brass six bays over. I could just bring the bolt back and just bump it and drop the brass out next to the rifle. Of course, the disadvantage with that is you come back too slow and bump it, it will drop the cartridge right on top of the next one and then cause a malfunction for you. So again, pros and cons for everything. That is my opinion, but as always, I want to hear what you guys have to say. Do you favor push round feed? Do you favor control round feed? Is there something I've missed on both? Leave it in the comments section down below. I know there are a lot of fans out there that shoot Remington 700s, Remington 700 clones. Most of the Savages, I believe, are push round feed. I don't know of any Savage offhand that is control round feed, that is a centerfire rifle. So please, leave your comment down below. I would love to hear what you have to say on push feed versus control round feed. And that's going to be it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have liked the episode, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them in the comment section down below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. We release new content every week, so make sure you click that little bell icon, even if you're already a subscriber, so you get notified when we release new videos. And until next time, get out and shoot!